welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now, today we have talked a lot about, you know, the old school, new school kind of approach to travel. And I don't want to make it seem as though we are kind of boxing in travel, because that's kind of not the point here. But I do think that you can find some trends when you look at, you know, different ages and different generations and what people want to see. I mean, even if you take it back to the kids, Olivia, I mean, there are certain things that kids want to do when they go on vacation.
Right, and that doesn't have to be a bad or divisive thing.
No, it doesn't have to be. And that's kind of, you know, what we're talking about here, but making a little bit of fun about it. Because when you do go to the same place, when you have a little bit of a generation gap there, you know, the younger folks may want to go off and do something, and the older folks may want to do something else. So it's really about combining all of that together, making sure everyone has a great, great vacation. And who knows, you know, maybe the younger folks can get the older folks to do some of those activities that they thought, well, I'm too old to do that. I don't know about that. And same with the older folks might be able to bring the younger folks to see maybe some of all that history that they lived.
Right. If you have your heart set on this one thing you really want to do, you know, just express that. You might be surprised who tags along.
You might be surprised, you know, because, for instance, I remember going to Pearl Harbor to, you know, take a look there and just experiencing that with someone who had actually fought in, you know, the war. And it really brought a whole different view to it. So that's a perfect example of kind of like an old school, new school kind of way of looking at it, that that person who's actually maybe lived that and fits into that old school kind of category can really bring a whole new view to going to some of these historic places.
That's a great example. We always talk about, you know, traveling with an open mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of apply that to the people that we see when we get there, but also travel with an open mind with your companions.
Exactly, exactly. You want to go happy and come back happy.
That's the goal.
That's always the goal. But now, one of the things we love to talk about as well are those quarter miles where, you know, we look at the quarter and we get inspired to go to these states and maybe do something touristy based on the design that's on the back of a quarter.
And it's been a lot of fun seeing what each state feels is representative of their state.
It really has been. It's been a lot of fun to see it. It's been a lot of fun to kind of tie it into travel. Because really, when you think about it, I mean, it's one of the great ways to do it. Because if the state is highlighting that, that must be something that really is a good thing to do in that state.
Yeah, it must be special. And we've had a few random trips up northeast, but we've mostly been making our way across the southern border of the United States. And so now we're finally in California.
Oh, I love California. It's one of my favorite states. So yeah. What did you find with the quarter miles?
So the California Quarter was released in January 2005 and engraved by Don Everhart. And it depicts naturalist and conservationist John Muir overlooking Yosemite Valley and the granite headwall known as Half Dome, as well as a soaring California condor. And there are the inscriptions, California, John Muir, Yosemite Valley, and 1850.
And all of those are very, very important. They're very significant. And just to name California as well. But, you know, 1850, you know, important date, you know, in California's history. And, of course, John Muir, I mean, can't get any better than that when you start talking about conservationists.
Yes, John Muir was 11 years old when his family emigrated to the U.S. From Scotland. 1 year before California became a state, and it ended up being the state that he really fell in love with.
Isn't that something?
And when he arrived in San Francisco at 30 years old, after growing up in Wisconsin mostly, he eventually made his home in Yosemite Valley, and he described the Sierra Nevada mountains as the range of light, the most divinely beautiful of all the mountain chains he'd ever seen.
Wow. And since he found them to be so beautiful, I mean, it just stands to reason then that he would devote his life to conserving nature and publishing over 300 articles and 10 books on nature and philosophy.
And he is considered the father of the National Park Service because his writings convinced the U.S. government to protect Yosemite, Sequoia, Grand Canyon, and Mount Rainier as national parks.
Wow. That's really, really significant. It really is.
So a very influential figure, not just in California, but for the National Park Service overall.
Exactly. And national parks are really a great way to see the U.S., to just really plan to just go to the national parks. And they're really all different kinds. So if you're saying that, you know, you're not necessarily interested in the mountains, I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, a mountain state park, anything like that. I mean, you really have a choice. And there's some beautiful ones all around the country.
Absolutely. And in California, there are quite a few places in nature with dedications to John Muir, and one is the Muir Woods National Monument in Mill Valley. So you enter the Redwood Forest there. Mm. It's kind of an entering point for that.
Mm-hmm.
You can take in the fresh water of the Redwood Creek, and there are miles and miles of trails with a couple options, a half-hour loop, an hour loop, and a one-and-a-half-hour loop just within that area. But you can also go to the Mount Tamalpais State Park, and all along the way you can take in the old-growth coast redwoods, which are the tallest living things in the world.
And, you know, the good thing about this and talking about old school, new school travel, I mean, everyone likes to hike. And one of the great things about this, too, is that, you know, the hikes, you can just basic on really what your walkability is or just your stamina as well. But you can still get out there and really enjoy this area and have a great walk.
Right. And it doesn't even have to be a thing like a hike. You mm-hmm. can just be driving through this area, stop wherever, mm-hmm. you know, strikes you and just kind of explore.
Exactly. Exactly.
Another really cool place is the John Muir National Historic Site in Martinez. This mm-hmm. is where John Muir and his family live. So you can check out the family home and view a 20-minute film on Muir's influence at the visitor center there. And there are guided tours, but there's also a self-guided option with an app on your cell phone. So you can just walk around the grounds and be guided that way. There's the Martinez Adobe located at the end of Muir's orchards, with bilingual exhibits for the Juan Bautista de Anza National Historic Trail.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah. It's a really cool story about a Spanish lieutenant colonel who led over 240 people up the California coast in 1775. So who knew that area would, you know, be this arrival point?
Exactly, exactly. You wouldn't necessarily think that at that time. But that's how history is made, is that people are doing things that later on we look at it, we can really see the significance of it.
Yes, and, you know, that's kind of a big picture thing. And then smaller, you know, more intimate details, if you're a fan of John Muir, you can hike the same area that he and his daughters would hike every day. And they call it Mount Wanda. It's actually just some hills, but it's named after one of Muir's daughters.
And you can see probably how involved she was as well in the work that her father was doing.
Yes, absolutely.
It was definitely a family thing. So
oh, I think so. Yeah.
It still should be.
Yeah, there's your inspiration. And you can stop, take a picnic on top of Mount Wanda or in the historic orchards. And depending on what time of year you visit, there's wildflower walks, campfires, full moon walks, which sounds really fun.
Yeah, I would love that. And you can find out more information by going to nps.gov, nationalparkservice.gov, and find out really, you know, what's going on so that you can plan your trip around that. Although I really like the full moon walks. That sounds great. But now, that's not the only park and the things that you can see in California.
Well, let's talk about, you know, the place that John Muir fell in love with, Yosemite National Park, the park that he helped, you know, preserve and protect.
That was his favorite.
And this place is known for so many things, from waterfalls to very deep valleys, meadows.
Grassy meadows, yeah.
Lots of tall, ancient trees like sequoias and vast wilderness. So there's so much to explore. And the national parks page for the Yosemite National Park is really intensive, has a lot of great ideas. So these are just some of them.
Well, and there, and again, there's so many different things that you can do. If you like wildflowers, again, if you want to just look at the waterfalls. I always think of places like this as being not only great places for like hiking, but taking a backpack, going horseback riding, fishing. You can even go rock climbing, stargazing. You can do a lot of things when you go to this park, and this is a perfect place for it. And you just want to check it out and just make sure the time of the year you can do those things that you want to do.
Yes, and they have plenty of tips and guides if you want to hike or backpack or go stargazing. All that information is available on the official National Parks website, so you're getting the best of the best.
You're getting it all. You're getting it all. Now, this is great, Olivia. And I think we have a lot of things that we can really think about from all of the things that we've talked about today when you're trying to figure out that old school, new school way of looking at travel and really bringing everyone on, making everyone happy. And don't forget also, too, our sponsor today, Sapelo Island Beach Vacations, another great place where you can bring everybody along. There's something for everyone to do. You can check out their website at Sapelo Island Beach Vacations. Now, when we come back next week, we're going to have more great travel tips. And I want to talk about, also, too, my trip to Alaska. I went on a cruise. But don't forget, guys, to go to Travel Bags with Anita Facebook page and let us know what's been your best vacation so you can win those two-night stay at True by Hilton out in McDonough. Bye-bye, guys. Thank you for listening. I want to get away.